and follower of Jesus Christ. He's now a martyr. Unfortunately, he has become the tipping point and the flashpoint for the I can't breathe movement of targeted brutality by white police against black folk, igniting protests and rioting in cities all over our country. But today is Pentecost Sunday, church. Amen. Come on. When the church was birthed after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was one of the three required feasts for every Jewish male. They had to show up. It was required. And it was a harvest feast. And it's the day that the disciples gathered in the upper room. They were there for 10 days as instructed by the Lord to pray for the promise and wait for the promise of the Father. So there they were, sheltered in place in the upper room in prayer, in obedience to the Master. And the sound of a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire fall on these disciples. And all of a sudden, they are emboldened and empowered from on high. It's almost like you plugged in the power source. And on that day, 3,000 were saved through the preaching of a converted Peter, who was a three-time denier of our Lord. And he gets up and preaches, and 3,000 people are saved, and there's the birth of the Christian church in power, witness, and boldness. Now, Jesus told his disciples that this would come. Just before the high priestly prayer in John 17, he said this. He said, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and now has come, when you will all be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me, and these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In the following chapter in Acts, the birth of the church, after Pentecost, we read of the arrest of Stephen. Now, Stephen was one of the seven deacons chosen over a controversy of feeding the widows. But these men not only walked in service, they walked in miracles and powerful signs. It says in Acts 6:8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And they dragged him before the Sanhedrin because he was taking them on, telling them about the Christ, convincing many that he was who he said he was. And he renounced them and reviled them for their treatment of Jesus by crucifying him on the cross. Well, after hearing Stephen, they took him outside and began to stone him to death. Now, Saul of Tarsus was standing by overseeing this. And as they stone him, we get these words from Acts. Now, this is the account from Acts. Chapter 6, Acts chapter 7. "When they heard these things that Stephen said, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing," not sitting, "standing at the right hand of the Father. And he said," these are, folks, his last words, Stephen's last words. "He said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Isn't it nice that Jesus takes a stand for us? "Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the disciples laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man, Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Who was he quoting? Jesus on the cross said, into your hands I commit my spirit. From the book of Psalms. And then his final words, Lord, do not lay this sin against their charge. And he fell asleep with that. Now, Jesus did this, and Stephen followed his example by remitting the sins of his afflictors and persecutors, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, Jesus gave us that authority in the upper room, John 20, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you remit or forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And Jesus chose to retain, forgive the sins, remit the sins. And Stephen, also, his last words, don't hold this sin against their charge. And folks, that was the precipitating event that brought Saul to the Lord on the Damascus Road and turned a Saul, a persecutor, prosecutor, into a preacher, proclaimer. Now, what if we came out of hiding, church? What if we came out of hiding and were filled with the Holy Spirit and began walking in resurrection, life, and power, forgiving our persecutors, preaching the gospel, and healing the sick like these seven deacons? You don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be an apostle. You just got to, the greatest among you is the servant of all, the diakonos, the servant. Stephen's name means crowned one. It says in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who endures trials, temptations, tribulations, troubles, for he shall receive a Stephanos, which is the crowned one. And so Stephen got he was the first martyr. He got the first crown. Now, our friend George Floyd, who began his ministry in Houston, moved to Minneapolis to be discipled in a training for the ministry. George, Georgos, is the Greek word for sower or farmer. When Jesus said a farmer went out to his field or a sower went out to sow, he used George, the name Georgos. And so, George Floyd sowed the word of God into the lives of others. Now his life has been sown into death, into the earth. And Jesus said, unless a grain falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. John 12, 24. And I believe that George's life was not sown in vain. The world's responding wrong, folks. But I would not be surprised if after George said, I can't breathe, and he realized he might have even seen a vision of Jesus like Stephen. He might have even seen a vision of Jesus. I'm not surprised if he said, Father, don't charge them with this sin. Because he was a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Maybe his last words were, Father, forgive them. Can we be that kind of people? And may this be that kind of Pentecost.